seeing his past sins and trying to struggle with how in the world can the Lord forgive me of all the things that I've done. Thank God for His mercy in sending me to a strong, Reformed Baptist church in Tallahassee. And this hymn, Hymn 142, was a hymn that my pastor took me to and said, "Son, you need to memorize this hymn." Because I could not believe that, number one, Christ forgave me, and number two, that He had the power to keep me saved. I know we've all struggled with that in here, have we not? Lord, have you kept me in this? How is this working? Is it by my strength? Is it really by what you have done? And this hymn, through a strong biblical foundation, this hymn: "Dear dying Lamb, thy precious blood shall never lose its power, till all the ransomed church of God be saved to sin no more." That God is going to save every one of His kids, every one of the church. And you'll know when it's time for, even this week I have prayed, "Lord, as y'all have many times, is it time to go home? I mean, is Christ?" Well, we'll know when all the ransomed church of God is saved to sin no more. Amen? "Ever since my faith I saw the stream thy flowing wounds supply, redeemed, love has been my theme and shall be till I die." Let's pray. Oh God, Lord, please help. Help us to hear Your Word. Help me to proclaim Your Word. And help us to walk in Your Word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This week has been, in many ways, a long week. I have sat with many of you throughout this week. And in a lot of ways, there's a lot of us. I mean, I'm looking at faces, but there's stories behind the faces of struggles that you're facing, that you're in. And throughout this week, I have thought about this passage, a passage that I have gone to many times. And I felt led to share this with you this morning. We're not going to be in the Beatitudes this morning. I'm sorry. I know many of you are looking forward to the meekness. The meek shall inherit the earth. And I've been working on it, and it's good. Believe me, it's good. But I felt led that this is what we need this morning. Some of you more than others. What I need, what you need, what this body needs, is Psalm 121. It's a traveler's psalm. A traveling song. Much like the hymns in a way that we sang today. I remember as a young believer, watching my pastor see that hymn and then him giving it to me. And songs are powerful things that help and encourage. I didn't know Kurt had picked that. I'll be honest, I hadn't even looked at the bulletin this week. I didn't know what we were singing, and that's to my neglect, because I normally pray through it, but I haven't. I just haven't done it this week, and it was so encouraging and uplifting and confirmation to me that I felt led to this psalm, to this song, and having personal testimony of what we sang. But these songs mean something and encourage us many times when we're down, when we are struggling, when life is crowding in, when things are beating at the door. And so in this psalm, Psalm 121, it is a song. And it was a song that the pilgrims would sing as they would journey to Jerusalem, as they would make pilgrimages to Jerusalem to worship. And a song that David penned it, and was used to help them to continue in their journey. And when I read this psalm, it helps me. It encourages me. It strengthens me. It uplifts me. And I want to share it with you. And many of you probably have already have footnotes, because I've given this to you before, because I go to it often. But it's a traveler's song, a journey song, a song for us, for Christians that are in need, who are weary and need to continue. David Livingstone, a missionary in Africa, said that this song, this psalm, was an encouragement to him as he journeyed through Africa, as he explored Africa. It helped him. And I think there have been people throughout the years that this song has helped, this psalm has uplifted. And I pray it will become that to you. That we are under a watchful, caring eye of our God. And He is intimately involved in your life. That there is nothing outside, there is nothing going on in your life that He is not working in. The struggles that some of you are facing today, whether it's self-inflicted or because we live in a fallen world, the struggles and the strife, that the pressures that you feel, this is something that will help you, ground you. And these eyes, this providential care of God in a believer's life, is something that we need to cling to. That in your life, the most painful thing are things that can come have passed through nailed, scarred hands. It is not a mistake. God is sovereign. There's always been one plan, and He is working it out in all of His children's lives. This should bring solace to us in the middle of chaos. So as we are on the road, as you are on this pilgrimage, may this be a song that you learn and sing. Let's read it together, and then let's look at it. Psalm 121 says this, I will lift up my eyes to the hills. From whence comes my help? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not allow your foot to be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade. At your right hand, the sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Amen. That's good. This is a psalm that you, I pray, will frequent. You will learn it. It will encourage you. Spend time with it. Meditate on it. I want to just give you a few handles, a few benchmarks, a few things to note. Let's look at the first two verses. Probably, in many ways, the most popular two verses of this psalm. These two verses you've heard many, many times. But let's look at it. Let's look at this. It says, I will lift up my eyes to the hills. From whence comes my help? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. What does this mean? What is happening here? It's simple. It means this. God is your helper. He's your helper. He will help you. Those days there were no roads, or roads like we know. They were more like well-traveled paths. Across valleys, through rivers, over mountains. And as these travelers, these people of pilgrimage would go, they would be tired. And they would get exhausted. And the days of travel would extend. And their muscles would ache, their feet would be sore, and suddenly, in the distance, they would see the hills of Judah. They would see the hills in Jerusalem. The hills that they were traveling to, even if they were afar off, they would see a glimpse. And they would sketch the vision. And they could not help but to break out in song. Why? Because the hills that they were going to were the hills to go and worship. The hills that they were traveling to was the hills that they would find and see the face of God. And it would encourage them to continue in the journey. They would see these things and continue to press. Where are you in this journey of life? As Bunyan so poignantly puts it, the journey as believers are our own to the celestial city, to the city of God. Where are you? Are you in a valley? Some of you are. Some of you right now are in a very low place and struggling. Are you trying to cross that river? That is a powerful force that's pulling you in a direction that you don't need to go. Where are you? Are you on a mountain trying to scale a mountain that you've got to cross? It's between you and the city of God. And you've got to scale this mountain. And some of you, praise God because He does this and He alone is the one that can do this. Some of you are in green pastures right now. Enjoy them. Hear me. Enjoy them. Take in the nourishment. Be refreshed. Know that the shepherd is at hand watching over you. But where are you in this journey, Christian? Where are you in this journey of life? And the psalmist here is talking about turning to the Lord. No matter where you are, to turn to the Lord and to find worship. Wherever circumstance, whatever circumstance is facing you or surrounding you, wherever you are, to find the face of God and worship Him. I will lift up my eyes to the hills. From whence comes my help? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. The psalmist understood that these trials, these struggles, these things that he was facing and going through, that they came, that they're here, that we're facing them, that it's not apart from God's hands. Our attitude, your spiritual condition towards God will determine your worship. Are you facing Him and seeing Him as your help? Or are you facing yourself? Are you looking at your own circumstances? What am I to do? How am I to do this? What am I going to do? What are we going to do? How is this going to work out? Are you sitting with yourself and all the issues and all the things surrounding you? Are you sitting with yourself wondering all of these things instead of looking at the Lord? For He is your help. Gaze at Him. Look at Him. Ask Him. For He is there. He is the only one who will help. So we see God as our helper. Now we see in verse 3 and 4 that He is also our keeper. He's our helper, but He is also our keeper. He's our protector, our guard. And He is a vigilant watchman. He is on guard. Let's look at this. Because this is difficult. This is a difficult question because many of you will say, God, where were you? In this time of life, where were you? How did this happen? If you're so watchful, if you're on the wall, why did this happen? Let's read this. Verse 3 and 4 says, He will not allow your foot to be moved. How many times have you felt moved? Is the Word of God true? He who keeps you will not slumber. He doesn't fall asleep. He doesn't get tired. Behold, He who keeps Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord... Oh, I'm going on to five. So verse 3 and 4. He will not allow you to be moved. He does not slumber. He does not slumber nor sleep. He's a good, vigilant watchman. There was a person... I've used this example a lot. You've probably heard me. There was a person that once asked the Greek general Alexander the Great, because he always was at war. A person asked him one time, "How can you even sleep at night? When there's so much danger around you, there's so many things surrounding you, how do you even lay down at night and sleep?" And he replied, "Because of Parmenion." Who is he? He's Alexander the Great's faithful guard who watched over him. That's how I'm able to sleep. Because I have someone who is faithful and who watches over me. The one who keeps you is better than any father this earth has known. The one who keeps you is stronger than any guard we can fathom. The one who watches over and keeps you and protects you is one who does not sleep, who does not slumber. And you may say, where were you in this? And He was more near than you could ever imagine. Where were you? If we know who our God is, then we must find rest in that. That what do we have to panic about? Are we not tired of being Chicken Little? I am. The sky is falling. The sky is falling. Are you not tired? God does not sleep nor slumber. He is our guard. Turn just a few chapters back to Psalm 37. I want to read a couple of verses. Psalm 37. Verse 23 and 24 says this. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And He, look at that, that's a capital H. And he delights in his way. Though he fall, lowercase h, he shall not be utterly cast down. Amen? Glory. For the Lord upholds him with his hand. There is a principle teaching that we have forgotten, really more like neglected, that we talk about often here at New Hope. But it bids reminding at this point that the Puritans taught that God upholds His people. But He also has another hand that breaks them. And that God's people are really like this in His hand. So when you feel, F-E-E-L, this hand, remember this hand. Amen? That's a principle of Scripture. It's a principle of walking that we need to remember and be mindful of. That there's two hands at work here. That He is upholding us, but He is also breaking us. It doesn't feel good all the time. But I think I want to be in the hands of God like this. Don't you? Lord, I don't understand it. I confess. Lord, it's troubling. My mind can't wrap around it. But this is where I want to be. In Your hands like this. So we see that our God is our helper. And He is also our keeper. But He is also our protector. We find rest. He's a God of rest. Let's look at verse 5 and 6. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. God is a covering. He's a resting place. How good it is. And the dog days of summer are coming. And how good it is here in the South to have good, big oaks. Amen. That when that sun is beating down on you and the heat is turned up and it's hot and it drains any man, no matter how strong they are, of their strength, that there is a shade tree that's planted. And when you're under that tree, it's amazing. It could be 100 degrees outside. You get under that big oak and it there's a breeze. The degrees drop. You find rest, refreshing. Your soul is revived. That's what the Scripture says. He says, "You will find shade. You will find rest. The sun will not strike down on you." And it even says the moon by night. And you know, the word Luna, it's a Latin word. It's what we where we get the word moon from. It's a Latin, and that's where we derived Luna. We've taken Luna and we've made lunatic because we thought people that were crazy would spend too much time out under the moon. They started howling at the moon and stuff, and so. What the psalmist is saying here is, whether it's by day or by night, God will be your resting place. He will be your shade. He will be your covering. You will find rest with Him. He will guard you. So we see God being our helper, God being our keeper, and God being our resting place. But there's one other thing here, the best of it. In 121, in verse 7 and 8, we see this. That He is the one who will preserve you. He is the one that will save you. Verse 7 and 8. The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. He will preserve you. We can look at this, and there's really two ways of looking at this. The present, which that is definitely there, that God helps you and He keeps you, He holds you, He preserves you in your daily going in and coming out, your daily walkings. But there's also an eternal preserving. The preserving that nothing will separate you from Him. That what do we have to fear? Death? Is that what we have to fear? What is it that can take you from your Father's hand? What is it? What is it in all of this universe that can take you from God's hand? Tell me. Nothing. You can't even take you from God's hand. Amen? You can't do it. Why in the world do we have theologies that we allow, that teaches that Satan can do that? Who in the world gave Satan that much power? Who did it? Can Satan take you from God's hands? Show me where that is in Scripture, please. So if you can't do it and Satan can't do it, is there another person that can do that? Is there another thing? Can cancer do it? Can depression do it? We just sang a great hymn. I would not want the life of William Cowper. But I thank God that he wrote that hymn. Amen? I would not want and would not want anybody, not even my enemy, to go through the life that he went through. But I thank God for the gift that God has given His church through that man. Through the demons that he fought, the gift that he has given to us, that we sang today. Thank you, Lord. What is it that can take you? You can't do it. The devil can't do it. No one else can do it, and no circumstance can do it. Hear me when I say this. When you stand before Almighty God that day, He's not going to ask you how much money you made. He's not going to ask you how far of an education you got or what degrees you have. He's not even going to ask you how much work you did. If you are His, nothing can take you from Him. He will preserve you. There's nothing in this world that you will face, although you will feel like it. Lord, I've lost my way. Lord, I've fallen. Lord, I've stumbled. Lord, what do I do? Why is everything tilted? But He will keep you. Philippians 1:6, that which He began in you, He will complete it until the day of Christ Jesus. Amen. That work that He has started in me, that work of salvation that He has started in you, He will complete that work until the day of Christ Jesus. Glory. That's perseverance of the saints. God does a work in your life and you walk no matter what. In closing, I want to say this. If you are on this journey, if you are already a pilgrim, I want to encourage you to keep walking. Keep going. Keep pressing. Just do the right things and get a job. Just keep going. The second thing is this. If you are not on this pilgrimage, if you are not on this journey, it's time you need to repent of your sins and get right with the Lord. Today. If you are not a pilgrim, today is the day of salvation. Repent of your sins. I don't care what family you're in. I don't care who your grandparents are, who your family. It doesn't matter what you've been, where you're going. If you are not on this road to the celestial city, to the city of God, if you're not on this journey, repent of your sins. If you do, that is God's grace in your life. That's the only way any person can repent. Repent. And start the journey of your life. Thirdly, if you have been on this journey and you have slipped, you have strayed, repeat step two. Repent and get back on the journey. Don't whine about it. Don't cry about it. Repent of your sins. Get up and walk to the cross. Get up and do what's right. Follow Christ passionately, supremely, follow Him with all that you have. So there's really three options. Pilgrim, press forward, keep going. Keep looking to the hills for whence your help comes. Number two, if you haven't started, repent of your sins and start. And number three, if you have started and you've fallen, get out of the mire and walk. Amen? Let's pray. Lord, thank You for this day. Thank You for Your help, for Your protection, for Your rest, and for Your perseverance. Lord, it's all of them are things You do. We can't even come to You until You come to us. Lord, there are a lot of things going on in our little body. A lot of things. You know every one of them intimately. You are intimately involved in them. Lord, do Your work that only You can do. Help us to press on, to press forward for Your honor and for Your glory. You do what You must. Lord, help us to do that which is right. Bring strength to weary souls. Help us, Lord. Thank You that You have never left us. And You will always keep us. Thank You, Lord. Encourage us. Breathe life into us. And may we go out and do that which You are calling Your church to do. To take the gospel to the world. Forgive us for being so inwardly focused. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You're dismissed.